episode of the Window Podcast. We are very excited to talk to you today about the September International Window. And believe it or not, it actually is quite significant for many different reasons. But before we launch into that, I should introduce my counterpart here, Brandon. Brandon, say hi. How are you doing?
Hey, Joe. Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of The Window. I'm also excited for the September window because it is really the last big international break before the World Cup begins. We are just about 2 months away at this point from seeing the final 32 teams in Qatar. So a little bit of business to take care of before we get into that. So definitely looking forward to going through all those matches and what we're expecting in the month of September.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Games actually get underway tomorrow. There's a UEFA Nations League game between Scotland and Ukraine. And that kind of kicks off the window officially, I guess. But yeah, you're right. This is kind of like the last hurrah before World Cup hits. There's no international break in October and everybody goes on break starting at the beginning of November to get things ready for the World Cup. So yeah, if you're a team that's qualified for the World Cup, this is your last chance to shop around, I guess, and introduce players into the teams. And well, I'll just go ahead and say it because we were talking about it right before we hopped on here. One such player that both of us find very interesting is going to be with Ghana, and that is Iñaki Williams, right? So he's played almost his entire career at Athletic Bilbao in Spain, and Ghana, persuade, I think his mother is yeah, Ghanaian, and so they persuaded him to switch allegiance, and he's going to represent Ghana, and he's probably a shoo-in, and he's probably going to be in Qatar.
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree. Yeah. That's a big pickup for them, especially. We've talked about them a number of times on the podcast and how they certainly weren't a team that looked like they dominated throughout qualifying and definitely deserve to be at the final. So it'll be a real great lift for them to have a player of his caliber with their squad in Qatar.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think he'll bring some goals with him. They're in a tough group, right? Portugal, absolutely. Uruguay, South Korea. So yeah, that's a good pickup for them. And of course there are other players like that. Some dual nationals, I suppose, that are kind of getting an introduction this window. I don't know if we'll go into too many more. I was kind of scoping some of those out yesterday. And now if I'm being perfectly honest, their names have escaped me, but yeah, just something to kind of keep an eye on. And you may hear the announcers during this window mention that as we, you know, as these teams have their friendlies and yeah, may, you know, introduce these players. So anyways,
we'll probably hear a few that we didn't even know about.
Yes.
You know, we'll have to take a look at some of the squads for these friendlies. Cause I think we'll talk a little bit later on around some of the prep friendlies for some of the teams, but Iñaki Williams is one of those that was called up for friendlies this month. And it'll be interesting because it is really the last opportunity for some of these teams to identify that talent and get them into the squad. So it's a more meaningful window, I think, for the teams preparing for Qatar. And I think we'll talk about that a little bit more because, as you mentioned, we were talking again, the squads will be final. The next time that these teams reconvene and get everyone together, they will have their World Cup squads with them. So this is really it for them to get a last look at a number of different players.
Right. Yep. Yep. So kind of to piggyback off that, I guess, we're going to really kick this off by talking about Nations League. And yeah, this is also a big window as it relates to that. This closes out this edition of the Nations League. The last two games in each group will occur during this window for all the European teams, And there's some interesting storylines going on. Brandon, you want to, what are some of the highlights for you?
Yeah. So I think you have to start at the top in League A and look at a number of the different teams that really had a great third and fourth match day. And the one that immediately comes to mind is Hungary. Seeing them top a group with Germany, Italy, and England, I think was not on anyone's expectation list. So they're a definite team to watch to see if they can see that through. But in addition, one of the other things that is going to be decided by this UEFA Nations League is the pots for Euro 2024 qualifying. And so UEFA, I think we talked about this a little bit on a previous episode. UEFA made the decision that the Nations League exclusively will determine the pots for Euro 2024 qualifying. So it has nothing to do with rankings or anything like that. It is exclusively your performance as a team in the Nations League. And so there are a number of teams like Hungary that have a very, very good chance not only of moving forward in the Nations League, but also being in the top pot for qualifying for Euro 2024. That draw is going to take place. I think we just had that date. It's October 9th. And so right after the Nations League ends, there's going to be this shift to Euro 2024 and getting that set up. So Hungary is definitely one that I'm looking at the other end in that group, England. Also at risk of falling to pot two for the draw, which when you look at how many teams are going to be in each pot, England is not a team that you would expect to fall out of that top 10 in Europe. So England's a team that I think is highly likely to end up in the second pot. And another team that we also were talking about, which I think we need to talk a little bit about both of these teams because they're both going to be at the World Cup, but at France. And you look at Ligue 1, France and England are bottom of their groups. And I don't know. I can't imagine that this is truly reflective of the quality of those teams. Perhaps the Nations League was not as important, but it's not like they were playing reserves. They were playing their best players against some of these surprise teams in the Nations League and just didn't get it done. And so I wanted to ask you your thoughts on France and England being bottom of their groups. Does this concern you? Is it just the Nations League and we shouldn't really care? Or is there some implication that these teams could have some difficulty in Qatar?
Yeah, so I don't think you can brush it aside or just say it's just Nations League. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't care, right? That was a whole point to this competition, was to provide meaningful matches. And so for me, the biggest thing is if they can't find a way to turn around their form in this window, and if they do end up getting relegated out of League A, you know, what does that do for them going into the World Cup, right? Like that form is, you know, important. Is it the most important thing? No, but there's something to say for how your mindset is when you're going into a tournament. And if you've lost your last six games and you get relegated out of a group, that, you know, people expected you to do a lot better, I think that's going to, toy with your mentality. For sure. So what's interesting to me is that both these teams, France and England, are actually on the same amount of points and they have the same exact results. They each lost their first game, drew their next two, and then lost their most recent game.
Yeah.
And it's just very surprising. Definitely not what you would think we'd be seeing at this point in time.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of my take on it. I'm not at panic stations yet. I'm kind of waiting to see how this window goes. But if they do end up getting relegated out, I don't think the World Cup will be, for lack of a better word, as easy. I mean, it's never easy, but I don't think it will be what people thought, maybe the US will end up beating England, maybe that will keep going on, maybe Wales will pull an upset, or, France, they could have a stinker against Australia or Tunisia. Tunisia is a very difficult team to play against. They tend to pack it in, right? Can France break that down? I don't know. They struggled to do that against Croatia. They struggled to do it against Austria. However, that being said, Croatia is definitely a vastly different team from Tunisia.
For sure.
And Austria maybe is a little more close. But anyways, I think you get my point. So what do you think?
I'm always torn on France because from a rankings perspective, and you'll know, I'll default to my computer on many occasions. France is a team that has really struggled to move up in our rankings, even prior to the Nations League. Throughout World Cup qualifying, they've kind of pushed up. They're typically around 10th in the world, maybe a little bit higher, but they never really push up too high in our rankings. And that's always concerned me. And I think we've taken a lot of criticism for not just assuming France is going to beat everyone. And they haven't really done that. They tend to not lose too much. But I don't know. France is always a team that I think, and you saw it at Euro, I just think they're not as dominant as they used to be. And I don't think it's a given that they're necessarily going to beat a given opponent. You mentioned Tunisia. I think that's probably a little bit of a different story, but they're not in a group that I would say is overly difficult. If I'm looking at all four of the groups, I think it's probably the easiest or second easiest group in League A with Denmark, Croatia, and Austria. And they're not doing well. So, I mean, France is a tremendously talented team. They have so many players that are world-class. And they're a team that I think when you get to the group stage of the World Cup, I think they'll be okay. I am a little bit concerned when you get in and you think back and say, oh, well, we got bounced out of Euro. We're last in our group for the UEFA Nations League. I wonder how much concern or doubt there is amongst that team. Maybe there's none. But the results that they've had, to me, makes me a little concerned for them.
Yeah. Just kind of looking at that too, you've also got two other teams who've also qualified for the World. So all four teams in each group in that who are in last place have all qualified for the World Cup and could potentially get bounced out of there. So Switzerland and Wales would be the other team, right? So that's very interesting.
Yeah. I think the teams will, I think you'll see good competition again. I think you might see the players try a little bit harder this time around. I think as you get closer to knowing that, okay, this is going to affect our pot for Euro qualifying and could ultimately affect whether we actually do qualify for Euro or not. You look at, there's 16 teams in this league, 24 teams are going to be at Euro. So maybe it doesn't affect it all that much. But I think you're going to see some really good competition. I think teams want a good effort before they go to the World Cup. You look down through these groups, Denmark, Croatia, Austria, France, you have Spain, Portugal, Czech Republic, Switzerland, Hungary, Germany, England, Italy, Netherlands, Belgium, Poland, Wales. When you look at the teams from UEFA that made the World Cup, that's all of them. With the exception of Serbia. Right. Serbia is in League B and they qualified, but that's it.
Right.
All of those teams, or all 13 teams that UEFA got, are in that 16.
Right.
With the exception of Serbia. So I think all of these teams are really going to look at this and say, and in League A particularly, I think they're going to have a little bit of a different mindset. It might not be pot one versus pot two, but I think they're really going to use this as a barometer for their teams to get a sense of where they're at for the World Cup.
Yep. Yep. I agree. We're going to touch on some of the games, I guess later actually. So we won't go into that right now, maybe on the flip side, we should just take a look real quick. So the group leaders, you got Denmark in group one. Group two is led by Spain. Hungary, group three, which is the upset. Props to them. That's fantastic. Love seeing that.
We'll and see then, if they can finish it off.
Correct, which will not be an easy task. And then the Netherlands leads group four. So
yeah,
good.
So, and then just real quick, and then we can hop over to League B just in terms of projections. So what do the numbers say? We give Denmark a 72% chance of getting to the playoffs out of group one. We think France is about a 54% chance of getting relegated. It's probably going to be them or Austria that get relegated. In group two, it's almost 50-50 between Spain and Portugal to win the group and advance to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a tight group.
Same for the relegation battle, Switzerland and the Czech Republic. I think it's about 50-50 there.
Yeah.
Not leaning one way or the other. We actually think Germany wins group three. Don't think Hungary is going to have enough to hold on. But we'll see. We give Germany about a 50% chance, Hungary 28%, Italy 21%. And then England, we have a 76% chance of getting relegated, which is very high.
England fans, close your ears.
I'm really curious to see if UEFA actually will relegate England if they finish last, like they did not relegate Germany, or if they just make League A even bigger, but we'll see. England in League B would be not a good look. For group four, it's a two horse race between the Netherlands and Belgium. We actually, of any team in League A, we give the Netherlands an 85% chance to win the group. Unfortunately, Wales about a 76.5% chance, to get relegated. So it seems like it's going to be Poland or Wales that get relegated. We think Wales has about a 3 times higher chance to be that team to get relegated.
Nice. All right, let's hop over to League B.
Yeah.
Group one, currently led by Ukraine, but featuring Scotland, Ireland, and Armenia as well. That, like we mentioned earlier, Ukraine and Scotland play each other tomorrow. That's actually it's actually a significant game for this group. You know, if there's an outright winner in that game, they're either going to solidify their spot at the top if it's Ukraine, or if it's Scotland, they'll jump to Ukraine and maybe go from there. So
yeah,
interesting.
Ukraine and Scotland seeing a lot of each other.
Yes, they are.
they played each other in World Cup qualifying. It was delayed. They eventually played. They'll play each other twice in September. So of their last, I guess, four matches for Ukraine, three of them are against Scotland. So actually, that was vice versa. For last four for Scotland, three are against Ukraine.
There you go.
Ukraine did advance.
What are your odds saying for this group?
So for this group, it's again about 50-50 with Ukraine and Scotland. We really don't think Ireland can get there. Armenia is just too far back at this point. I think with those teams, like Ukraine and Scotland still play each other twice, and they're already head and shoulders above the other two. So about 50-50. So think it could go either way there. Okay. We do think Armenia gets relegated out of the group.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Group two, so Israel, Iceland, Albania, and Russia. So Israel's currently sitting in top. Iceland, they're on 5 points, Iceland on three, Albania on one. So it's a little bit of a tighter group. If Iceland could put together a win, they might help themselves.
And this is one where I think it really matters. And I didn't really speak to this about Ukraine or Scotland, but we mentioned the Euro pots previously. So the way that it works, and I apologize, we should have talked through the logistics a little bit in terms of the pots. So there's going to be 10 teams in each of the first five pots, and then five teams in the last pot, and then we'll see what happens with Russia. But there's going to be 10 teams in pot one, 10 teams in pot two. Of the 10 teams in pot two, five of them will come from League A, and five of them will come from League B. So the bottom five teams in League A will go to pot two, with Germany excluded, because Germany is hosting. They're the 16th team in League A, but they're not going to be part of the qualifying process. Mm-hmm. So five teams from League B will make pot two. And so that means that, given what we were just saying in terms of the quality of pot two, that means you don't have to worry about that. Like, you could see a group with Spain and England in that group in Euro qualifying, or Portugal and France. You could have that. And so if you're in pot three and you get drawn with those two teams, it makes your really Euro tough. Qualifying that much harder.
Really tough.
So yeah. Those pot two spots, those five spots coming out of League B, it's really important. And so Ukraine and Scotland, two more teams where it matters. You want to get into pot two and avoid those League A teams. Mm-hmm. And so we think that Ukraine and Scotland could both get there. You're going to have two teams from one group. Basically, you're going to have the four group winners, and then you're going to have a fifth, essentially wild card team. That's a second place finisher. So the best second place finisher will get that final spot. So it could be Scotland and Ukraine. Going back to group two, that Iceland Israel battle is going to be huge. It looks like it's going to be one of those two teams winning the group. We think that Israel's probably in a better spot. Albania is not done at all. They have two matches. They're at Israel. They're hosting Iceland. So Albania is definitely not done or not out of it yet. But we actually really heavily favor Israel here. Give them about a 78% chance to win that group. Which would be huge for them. One, getting promoted to League A; two, getting into pot two for the Euro draw. They I think got a little bit fortunate with Russia's withdrawal.
Yeah,
but they've taken advantage of it and haven't lost in the Nations League. So,
yeah.
Definitely interested to see what happens in this group. To see if Israel can finish it off.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a fun one. All right, let's down to group three. Right now, it's Bosnia is leading the group on 8 points, but Montenegro is breathing right down their neck on seven. Then in third place, you've got Finland on four and Romania on three. So it looks like it's gonna be between Bosnia or Montenegro for the group. Not necessarily, but they definitely have an advantage. There's a little bit of a gap there between second and third. If I'm being honest with you, Bosnia actually, they've started to put some results together, and
they have.
They're starting to pick up form, which, watch this space, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a team that for us, had slipped, really prior to the Nations League. They were not playing well at all. It had been some time since, they put together a decent winning streak, And not that they've won every game in the Nations League, but they've done well. They've not lost in their last five matches, four of which were Nations League matches. But they've played really well, and they continue to surprise. I think we actually picked them to finish bottom of the group. They had a really rough run of form, really, I would say, since late 2019 or so. But they have looked better, and I expected more from Finland. I thought Finland would be at least contending, and it just hasn't been the case. Bosnia and Montenegro have just outperformed them.
Yeah, and it never ceases to amaze me that Edin Dzeko is still going. You know, he's got 124 caps for Bosnia. That's incredible. 63 goals, 124 caps. I mean,
that really is unbelievable.
That's basically a goal every other game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
He has been with them for a long time. So
yes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the first match, we haven't talked too much or in specific about a lot of the individual matches, but Bosnia and Montenegro actually play each other. Mm-hmm. That match is going to be on Friday.
That's a big one.
It is. And so Bosnia actually can lock up the group. If they win that match, it's over.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see if they can do that at home. But another team that you think about, just I've just continued to see them fall down our rankings. If they win that match against Montenegro, they're promoted to League A. They're in pot two for the draw. And they could be back at Euro. They're going to get a group that I think you'd have to imagine they feel they can finish top two out of to qualify for Euro. So it's huge, especially for, I think more so for these League B teams than anyone. The next week essentially could ultimately determine whether they reach Euro or not. And I would imagine a lot of teams are thinking about that, but you don't know. So I think I'm excited for this window because I think you're going to see a lot of just great matches, like where you have actual implications on the line and you have these players pushing hard to win and qualify.
Yeah. That Bosnia game is in Zenica, by the way. So I'm expecting definitely a sellout crowd there.
Oh, for sure.
So I'll be good. Okay, cool. Let's hop down to group four real fast. Norway in first on 10, Serbia followed by Serbia, 7 points, Sweden on 3, and Slovenia. So again, I think we mentioned this, one or two podcasts ago, but Sweden struggling and, Serbia struggling a little bit too. And Norway, maybe to the surprise of no one. And honestly, I will always say it. If they had had Holland in that game against Latvia, we'd be looking, we could potentially be looking at them at the World Cup instead of the Netherlands.
We could. So,
but anyways, it's bygones are bygones. So
we give Norway an 82% chance to get promoted. But they've performed so well. I mentioned that fifth team that would come out of League B to go into pot two. We actually give Norway a 94% chance to get into pot two.
Yeah.
And that's the highest in League B. So they're in a great spot. They go to Slovenia, they host Serbia. I'm very curious about that match against Serbia. You have a team that is going to the World Cup and a team that is not, and probably feels like they're good enough to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And Norway, if they get into pot two for Euro qualifying, I think we're going to see them at Euro. I think that their time is coming, and if they can finish this off, I think they'll be in a great spot.
Yeah, agreed. All right, should we move to League C?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll breeze through these, maybe a little bit faster. Group one, Turkey flying away with it, honestly. They've got a 5-point lead. over Luxembourg. But, you know, I love to see Luxembourg up there. I think that's great.
It is.
had they maybe not been in a group with Turkey, who I think, you know, would run the roost in any of these groups.
Yeah.
It might be a different story, but yeah, that's fun. So totally expecting Turkey, and I'm sure your odds have Turkey going.
Yeah.
Yeah. They only need a point.
99.3%.
Yeah.
For Turkey.
Yeah.
So it's agreed. I think there's one more team we'll talk about, but unfortunately you get some of these teams that get relegated. I think there's a pretty big gap between League B and C. Yeah. I think if you look collectively at the teams in B and collectively at the teams in C, I think, you know, any of those teams in B, if they move to C, I think would be doing what Turkey is doing.
Yeah. All right. Let's go down to group two. So
yeah.
Greece actually already qualified.
It's over.
they've been promoted into Group B. So congratulations to them. Gus Poyet doing great things there.
Yeah.
Pretty excited to see what he can continue to do with Greece. It's not the Greece of old that everybody's familiar with, where
they're packing
the bus. This is a very exciting team, and they're really trying to play a very attacking style.
They needed something like that to get them out of that. I mean, they were in a funk for a while. Where it's just surprising to see them fall as far as they did, but they've been playing really well. Another team that has consistently moved up our rankings. They fell for a while. They were in the 50s and the 60s in our rankings. Believe it or not, they're actually up to number 22 in the world for us, and that's probably a bit optimistic, but they've been playing really well. They've won a lot of games. And just the last thing I wanted to mention about Greece and Turkey, and I apologize if you had additional points on Greece. But the way that, just coming back to the pots, the way that they shape up, pots 1, 2, and 3 are exclusively League A and League B. So League C, the best you can do, you cannot get out of pot 4.
Right.
And so somebody's going to have Turkey and somebody's going to have Greece come out of pot 4 in their qualifying group. And that is not going to be good.
Nope. Those are dark horses.
You could see, again, these with some of these teams, you could have something like Portugal, France, Serbia, who's going to be at the World Cup, and Turkey all in the same group for Euro qualifying. that is not, you know, not out of the realm of possibility at all.
Group of death.
You might see one or two groups of death in Euro qualifying. So good teams, Turkey and Greece, and they should not be in League C, and they will be most likely promoted, and Greece already is.
There we go. Group three, Kazakhstan leads the group, which I can't believe I'm saying that.
I agree.
But that's fantastic. They've got a 4-point gap over Slovakia in second, and then Azerbaijan and Belarus follow up the group. So, yeah, if Kazakhstan can – they play Belarus, who's bottom of the group next. If a win there basically seals the deal for them.
We give them an 83.6% chance to be promoted, which, again, agreed. Did not expect to be saying that about Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
But they've played really well. They've been a pleasant surprise, I think, as much as many other nations in the Nations League.
Yeah. And it's good to see, you know, they are a football mad country. So it's good to see them, you know, making some, maybe some noise.
Yeah. I think this is a huge blemish, and I don't know if embarrassment is the right word, but Slovakia, I mean, looking at this group, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Belarus, there was probably no consideration that they wouldn't win this group.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Agreed. But on the flip side, I think that this, is good evidence towards what Nations League is supposed to do. It's supposed to help these nations like Kazakhstan, you know, build and grow. And that's what they've done. They've taken full advantage of it. So props to them. So
absolutely.
Group four, Georgia leads 10 points. They lead North Macedonia, who has 7, and then it's followed by Bulgaria and Gibraltar. So between Georgia and North Macedonia for the group there, honestly, I think either one of those teams, well, maybe not North Macedonia. They tend to surprise some people, but I'm just thinking ahead a little bit. If either of them get promoted, I suspect they might be going right back down. So
North Macedonia is in trouble, despite only being 3 points back. Georgia's, they have to go to Georgia. Mm-hmm. They already lost at home to Georgia 3-0. And then Georgia's final game is against Gibraltar. So despite only being 3 points back, we actually give Georgia a 93.5% chance to be promoted.
Nice. There we go. Okay. To League D, and then we'll kind of wrap up, Nations League here. So hang on.
It's going to be Latvia.
It's going to be Latvia. There we go. Yeah, Latvia's. So group one is led by Latvia. Looks like really they just need basically a point, if that per se. Looks like they've kind of wrapped up the group more or less. I'm sure your odds are saying that.
They need a point, and we give them a 98.8% chance to get promoted.
There we go. And then group two, Estonia, Malta, and San Marino. So Estonia and Malta are actually tied on points.
Yeah.
But Malta's played one more game than Estonia has.
We actually really favor Estonia, like 84% chance or so. It's just they're even with Malta and they play San Marino. So they're going to jump ahead, probably grab 3 more points there, and then they just need a draw against Malta and they're through, and that should be it.
Yep. All right, so there's your Nations League recap, and we will be back right after this break. Welcome back to part two of the window. In this part, we are actually going to run through the 32 teams that have qualified for the World Cup, and we're going to grade their games that they have this window. We thought this might be kind of a fun little thing to do. To familiarize everybody with who's playing who this window a little bit more, and then also because our focus has kind of shifted to these 32 teams and how they're preparing. And I guess side note, we're hoping to bring some additional podcasts, some additional content for you guys as it relates to these teams in the World Cup later on. And as you probably already know, if you remember from earlier episodes, Brandon's going to be there. So he's very excited about that.
I am. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun in Qatar. And I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of these 32 teams. So I think when the dust settles, I'll be seeing something like 20 of the 32.
That's amazing.
So very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, speaking of Qatar, I just during the break just found out that they actually lost in a friendly today against the Croatian U23 team. They lost 3-0. So take that for what you will.
We're not going to count that.
Yeah, it was an unofficial friendly, so I don't think it totally counts against their FIFA points or whatever, but still,
yeah, not good.
That's not great.
It is not.
That's not great. Okay, so that's a good transition into, so we're going to do this group by group, actually, and I have this laid out here. So I'm going to read out who the opponents are that each team is going to face. And then Brandon's going to give us his quick reaction grade and any other little notes that he wants to provide. And I will do the same. So we'll start with Group A and we'll start with Qatar. So they have friendlies this window against Canada and Chile.
I think it's, I'd say a C. I'm not that impressed with that lineup. I would have liked to see them play against two World Cup teams.
Yep.
Specifically because they didn't go through qualifying. So not only, did they not play matches, they also didn't get to play against that top level. Now they injected themselves into another, some continental tournaments around the world, but it's not really the same thing. I don't think they've necessarily played against the quality of teams that they're going to see in their group. And not taking anything away from Canada. I think Canada is a fine opponent. But I think they'd be better off against a better opponent than Chile. The only thing I would say to that is that maybe they think playing against Chile, they'll see a similar style to what they'll see from Ecuador, but that's just not the case. They're not similar teams at all. And I think that they would have been better served playing some better competition.
I could not agree more. So we're going to leave it at that. And my grade is actually the same. I'm going to C. So props. All right. Ecuador. So they play Saudi Arabia and Japan.
Interesting. I don't like it. I think it's actually even worse than Qatar, despite the fact that they are playing two World Cup teams, which I just criticized Qatar for not doing. I think that they need to get more exposure to some of the competition they're going to be playing. They have Senegal and the Netherlands are probably favored. I don't know who ultimately is favored between Senegal and Ecuador to advance. But they're not playing against anyone from UEFA. They're not playing against anyone from Africa. And despite, yes, Saudi Arabia and Japan being Asia, they're going to be playing against the hosts. And so playing in an environment like that, they would have been better suited. So this is a team that I have pretty high hopes for. But in terms of prep for the World Cup, not very good, I think, in D.
Okay. I'm going to give them a C only because they couldn't really prep against the UEFA side because they're all doing Nations League games.
That is a fair assessment. They just didn't have access to the UEFA teams.
Yes, correct. But I do tend to agree with you. I don't see why they couldn't have maybe tried to get something against an African side. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do C minus. So just a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, playing two World Cup teams is still not a bad thing.
Correct. Yeah. Okay, Senegal. So they have games against Bolivia and Iran.
Group A. Where are those matches? Do you know that?
I don't know that off the top of my head, but right. I can figure that out quickly.
I apologize. I should have asked a little bit of an easier question.
No, you're fine.
I think
give me one second.
Probably neutral locations, I would guess.
Yeah, let's see. So they are, yes. So they're playing Bolivia in France and they're playing Iran in Slovakia.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I would have expected. I don't know. I think Iran's a good test for them. I think that's fine. But again, Bolivia does nothing for them. It's not going to help them. I think, and especially in a neutral location, it's going to be one of those matches where nobody's going to be there, unfortunately. And I think it's just not a good prep match. But I do like the Iran selection. I think that's a good test for them. So I will also give them a C- as you gave Ecuador.
All right. There we go. I'm gonna go with the same thing actually, because Bolivia is don't like that one.
Yep.
And I don't know if the thinking was to try to maybe get a team similar to Ecuador, but again, they don't play anywhere similar. In my opinion.
It's kind of interesting because they can't really play against each other.
Right.
Like nobody would be better test than Ecuador.
right. But I do agree that Iran is a decent test. Going with the C- as well. And then Netherlands, so two Nations League games, they're playing Poland and Belgium.
Yeah. Those are going to be good tests for them for sure. Belgium is better than anyone that they'll see in their group, and Poland might be as well. Maybe the exception of Senegal. I think Senegal is probably a little bit better, but I do think Poland's a better team than Ecuador. So I think those are great tests. I think they're going to be playing against quality opposition. The only criticism I would have is I don't think it really is the style that they're going to see in the group matches. It's going to be a totally different match playing against those opponents than it will against Senegal or will against Qatar playing at home. But I think they're good preps. I would say a B.
Yeah, I went with B+. I think those are both pretty good tests. Mm-hmm. And I think if there's players that they're looking at, well, obviously you want to still win the group.
Yeah.
Perhaps there's an opportunity to maybe squeak some of them in, or if nothing else, then camp. B+ for me. Down to group B. So England is playing Italy and Germany.
I think they'll be good tests for England. I'd give it a B similarly. I think, yes, Italy's not at the World Cup, but any match against Germany is going to be good for you. And even Italy, it's not like they're devoid of talent at all. So it'll still be a good match, I think, for them to prep.
Agreed. Yeah, I went with B+ for very similar reasons. Yep. Iran, so their first friendly is against Uruguay, and then they play Senegal. So I'll lead off on this one with mine. I actually think this is I think those are some really good friendlies.
Mm-hmm.
The only negative I guess I would have is that, you know, in their group they don't have any South American competition, right, and they don't have any, right, African competition. Yep. That's the only negative. But really, for a team like Iran, I think both of those are pretty good games. So I'm gonna say B.
I like it a little bit more. I agree. I think that it may not be exactly the styles that they'll see in the group, but I think that's some really good competition for them. Kind of like you think about the Nations League. I think that those teams are good. They're not going for the top five. You know, they don't need to win the group to advance. You can finish second. So when they're playing a team like the Wales or USA, I think those are good competition. So I'll give them a B+.
I'm recording these just for why not. All right, United States. So we play Japan and then we play Saudi Arabia. So the Japan game, I mean, technical side, it'll be an interesting test, but I'm more interested in the Saudi Arabia game. I think that might be better prep for Iran. I do actually think both those teams play a somewhat similar style. So I'm gonna say C.
That's very generous of you. I was thinking more like D+.
D+, all right.
I mean, my thing is that yes, I agree. I think from a style of play perspective, sure, it gives you some prep, but you're at the point where you need to decide who you're taking with you to Qatar, and seeing some of the players play against good competition, especially, you have to think that expectations are going to be high for the US team. It's not just, hey, let's get out of our group.
Right.
There are expectations and hopes that this team will progress even further. And I would have liked to see them play much better competition. Again, all due respect to Japan and Saudi Arabia, but I would have liked to see them play much better competition. So I'm going to give them a D plus.
Okay, D plus. And then finally, Wales, they play Belgium and Poland.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because I think we've been optimistic and have complimented how some of the UEFA teams play each other. I actually don't like this for Wales because I think they have a lot of familiarity with both of those teams. And I don't know that they necessarily gain anything out of playing either of those teams. Belgium is a team that Wales plays all the time. Poland is a team that Wales has a lot of familiarity with. And so I don't really think it actually helps them. And so despite, you know, playing good teams in terms of prep, I think it's something like a C minus. I don't think that really helps Wales.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, actually. I am slightly more high on these games, but repeat what you said. You said C minus. C minus.
Okay. Like I said, they're good teams they're playing. And it's not that they won't be good matches. I just think in terms of shifting to what they can expect at the World Cup, I don't think they're going to gain a lot out of or learn a lot from these matches.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go C plus. Just for the heck of it. All right. Okay. Down to group C. So Argentina, they play Honduras and Jamaica.
Yes. A plus. A plus for Argentina. Where are those matches?
They are. I was not expecting an A plus from you for those. Or was that
sarcasm? I might reconsider before I conclude.
Was that sarcasm? I couldn't
quite tell. A little bit.
Okay. All right.
I fully support Argentina playing Jamaica and Honduras.
They're both here in the US. So really? So they're playing Honduras in Miami and they're playing Jamaica in Harrison, New Jersey.
Oh, I need tickets to that. When is that?
That is on the 27th.
All right. I'll look into that.
Yeah.
It does nothing for them. Honduras is a team that we criticized heavily. They're not going to learn anything from those matches. I think they're just kind of going through the motions there. I can't give them anything other than an F there.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. Yeah. A plus. Come on.
Yeah. I fully support Argentina playing different CONCACAF nations across the United States.
Hey, they're just trying to get ready for Mexico. Okay.
I know.
And quick side note, I'm super excited to see the new Adidas jersey that Jamaica is going to have. And I don't know if they're going to have it this window, but I know that partnership has been officially announced.
Nice.
So I'm super stoked to see what they can do.
I think the Mexico ones are my favorite thus far.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. But if the Jamaica jerseys are anything like what Adidas did with the Ajax kit, the Bob Marley kit, I think that was last year or maybe 2 years ago. Oh man, it's going to be sensational.
Yeah.
So
excited. Been a big fan of what Adidas has done. Nike seems kind of tame. Yes. And the Puma kits are.
We don't even need to talk about those. Oh my gosh, man. I'm so disappointed. It's just, that's a whole nother discussion.
I know.
They did not delve into my wallet.
We'll save those rankings for a future pod, but I think Puma is going to be towards the bottom on most of them. The Switzerland one is they should go back to the drawing board before Qatar.
It's like a name tag. It's like one of the name tags you get at a conference. Yeah. Like my name is Switzerland.
Yes.
It's horrible. Anyways, okay. Continuing on, Saudi Arabia, Ecuador, and the United States.
I mean, good for them. They have Argentina, they have Mexico in their group. I mean, can't ask for more than that. You're aligning the confederations. You're playing good teams within those confederations. I think that's an, I'll give them an A. I think that's a great choice of prep matches.
All right. First legitimate A on the board. And you know what? I'm doing the same thing. I agree. I think for them, I think those are fantastic games.
Yeah.
So good job, Saudis. Irv Renard, baby. Let's go. All right. Mexico. So they play Peru and they play Colombia. Two comable teams. they have Argentina in their group.
Both in the United States, I assume.
Both. Yes, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And neither of those teams qualified for the World Cup.
Yeah. I don't like it. I think when you're playing against Argentina, it's probably better that you play someone who's good than someone who's from the same region.
Yeah.
I think they're just, you know, quality wise too good. I don't like it. I think they're also getting a D plus from me. I just don't know why. It just seems like they're just kind of doing what they do every window. Right, they're playing friendlies in the U.S. against teams outside of CONCACAF.
It's a money grab.
Every window, it's the same thing.
Yep.
But at this point, change it up. Change it up when you're about to go to the World Cup. I don't think they did the right thing there.
Yeah, I agree.
And especially, not to be a dead horse with Mexico, but for a team that hasn't really been playing all that well.
Oh, stole my thunder. I was going to say that.
You know, they've not been cruising into the World Cup, dominating. They really need to get back in form. And to me, that's just not the way playing against two teams that are not at the World Cup.
Right. Yep. I agree. Yeah. Both those games are in California. So I'm not even going D plus. I'm going straight F.
Yeah.
Mexico fails. Sorry, Mexican friends.
I think that's totally fair.
All right. Last but not least in this group is Poland. They play the Netherlands and they play Wales. Both Nations League games, of course.
Yeah, I think it's not bad. I think playing against the Netherlands is always a good idea. It's not their choice, but is good competition and good comparable opposition for Argentina. So I like that. Wales is a tough team. They're at the World Cup also, obviously. So I think it's decent for them. Obviously I think if they were choosing, maybe they would have chosen to get a little more exposure outside of their region, considering they are the only UEFA team in their group. So I think it's okay. So I'll go B minus for Poland.
So that's what I did too. Okay. B minus. Yeah, I agree. I think first of all, they couldn't really help it. This is what was scheduled. Second of all, you know, it's not horrible opposition to go up against. Yeah. So yeah, I'm just going B minus. Okay. To group D, France, they play Austria and Denmark.
And they will be with Denmark at the World Cup.
Correct.
So that's good prep for Denmark.
Yep.
Austria, I think it's, I don't know. The other two teams in their group are Australia and Tunisia. I think if they had a choice, they would have looked at a team with a little more similarity to Australia and Tunisia, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really grade a team for playing against the team they're going to play at the World Cup by accident. So I think it's okay, but not great. So I'll go with a C plus for France.
C plus for France. Okay. I will stick with my theme for these Nation League games of going with a B minus because I think actually Austria and Australia play fairly similar ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, neither side really packs it in, and Australia is not afraid to go after you. Neither is Austria. They just kind of lack that quality to make it count. Going with B minus.
Let's do Denmark next, since we know they're playing France.
Okay, Denmark. Yep. So they have Croatia first, and then they play France.
Yeah, I think Croatia is a little bit better opposition for them than Austria. Yes, the style might be a little bit different, but I think they're better competition, and I think that's for a team like Denmark that never gets the respect they deserve. Continuing to play good teams and getting that experience, I think, will help them. So I'll give them a little bit more there. I'll give them a B.
Okay. I also went with B for very similar reasons. So probably don't need to go into it. All right. Australia. So they're playing New Zealand twice.
They are.
And I guess I'll go first on this one. New Zealand, a team that was in the hunt to the very end, didn't make it. I'm sorry. I don't like this. I mean, I appreciate the rivalry, and I know that there's some celebrations going on, there, and they're close neighbors and blah, blah, blah. But, this does not do anything for Australia. So I'm sorry. It is an F in my book.
Yeah. I also think it does not really do anything for Australia. I think one of the things that they have going for them that some others don't, is that they were able to play teams from other confederations. They won the playoff, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they did get a little exposure.
Sure.
But I agree. There's really nothing to gain from this, as it pertains to getting it together before the World Cup. So I think the F is fair, and I will join you there.
Okay, cool. The F is fair. I love that. F for fair. All right.
And fail.
And fail. Tunisia. They're playing Comoros, and then they play Brazil. So
two of the best in the world. There you have it.
So the Comoros game, look, I like Comoros. I like Comoros in the African arena. But if you're preparing for a World Cup, Comoros doesn't really do a whole lot for you. They're not really comparable in my book to any other team in their group, not even Australia. Mm-hmm. And definitely not France, and definitely not Denmark. Yep. So don't like that one. Brazil, however, that is a good grab. Mm-hmm. I do think that is a good game for Tunisia. That'll be a good measuring stick for them. So I am going to balance the two out and just go with a C.
I think that is a fair assessment. So you would give the Brazil an A.
Yeah.
Or an A plus.
Yeah.
I actually don't think Brazil is a good choice for them. I agree that Comoros is not good either. But Brazil's a top 3-5 team in the world. Some may say you're crazy. They're number one. They're a favorite to win the tournament. They are. And Tunisia is not going to win the World Cup. And so, yes, France is a good team. But I would have liked to see them play someone a little more the level of Australia, or maybe kind of in between, maybe in that 20 to 25 range or 15 to 25 range, because they're not going to get out of this group by just beating France. Maybe it'll happen. I mean, anything can happen for sure.
Who's in that range? Like, is the US in that range?
Yeah, I would have liked to see them play the U.S.
Yeah, that would have been a good spot.
I would have liked to see that.
Or Mexico, maybe.
Mexico would have been good, or Canada.
Yeah.
I think those teams would have prepped them a little bit better, because they need to find a path to get out of the group. And I don't think it's through France. And so I don't really like that choice of Brazil. So I think between that and Comoros, I'm going to give them a D. I think playing Brazil is better than not playing Brazil, but I just think they're just a far inferior team, in my opinion. And so I just don't know that getting blown out, if they do get blown out, maybe they'll, you know, go out there and try to end it 0-0 like they always do. But I expect them to get blown out by Brazil, which to me just doesn't help you. So we'll see. We'll see.
And something that just occurred to me randomly looking at this group, by the way, there is a strong France Tunisia connection.
Like there is.
Absolutely. That's an interesting game for I guess cultural reasons.
Absolutely. There are definitely also a number of people that have some Tunisian heritage that
are playing for France.
Or have played for France.
Yeah.
So that'll be definitely interesting, but I think Brazil will be a different story.
Yeah. Okay, down to group E. I think we're on E. So Spain is playing Switzerland and Portugal.
I like it. They're in a group with Germany at the World Cup. Mm-hmm. I frankly don't think they're going to be extremely worried with Costa Rica or Japan. But I do think that is one where it might have been a good idea, or, well, again, not that they had a choice in the matter, but seeing something a little bit different outside of UEFA, knowing they have Costa Rica and Japan who are going to be different, I think may have helped them. But it's good competition, and I think for a team like Spain that is among those that you think could win the World Cup, I think continuing to play good competition is a good idea for them. So I'll say a B, I think, is fair.
That's also what I put for very similar reasons. All right. Costa Rica, they're playing South Korea first, and then they play Uzbekistan.
Interesting. The South Korea, I think, is a good test. They have Japan in the group, so a close neighbor. I think getting some exposure to the Asian style of football, and not that they're necessarily overly similar, but you will see, I think, some benefit there. And Uzbekistan, I just don't know enough about to kind of say if there's any benefit to playing them, but they're always a team that's close on the precipice of breaking through, and it seems to never happen. But it's not like they're, in my opinion, a team like Comoros that we just mentioned, where the competition is just not at the level you'll see. I think Uzbekistan is a decent side, but I would have liked to see a little more variety. I would have liked to see them play a South American team instead. So I think it's okay. I'll give them a B minus here.
I went with B plus. It's okay. Maybe slightly better than okay, because I think they've earmarked that Japan game as a game where they can pick up maximum points, and I think they're trying to prepare themselves adequately for that. So I'll give them a little bit more for that. So B plus.
I think that is a fair assessment as well.
Germany, they play Hungary and England.
I'll let you take this one first. I've been taking a number first.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we need to rock through these. So I am going to go just my B, because I think the England game is good. Hungary is punching above their weight right now. They're in fine form. So I think that's a good game. And Hungary to me is a team that is a little more stout than Costa Rica and Japan. But I think Hungary tends to try to hit on the counterattack like Costa Rica. So I think that's fairly decent. So I went with a B.
Yeah, I think it hits both. And I mean, we shouldn't be knocking Hungary. I mean, they're winning their group, right? So
yeah.
But I think it's a good a mix of what they'll see in their group. So I actually like it a little bit more. I'm going to give them a B+.
B+. All right, cool. Japan, so they play USA and Ecuador. So obviously they have a CONCACAF team in their group. Mm-hmm. They do not have a CONMEBOL team in their group. So, but both those teams are World Cup qualified teams.
Yeah.
So yeah, actually, I don't think it's worthy of an A. I will go B+.
I like that grade. I think, especially when you consider, as you mentioned, you can't play against these UEFA teams. So they have two in their group. There's nothing they can really do about that.
Right.
When you look at CONCACAF and CONMEBOL, to be able to grab two of those teams, I think two of the better teams, USA might be the best team in CONCACAF. Mm-hmm. Bold take there. But I think they did really well with those two matches. I think they're as good as you can hope for with prep. Maybe if they got Argentina or something instead of Ecuador, might have been a little better, but I'll give them an A-. I think they did really well with trying to find opponents that are will help them in their group.
So what was your grade?
A-.
Right. Nice. Good job, Japan.
Yes, absolutely. And good job with the kits too.
Nippon. Oh yeah. And they do have pretty good kits.
I like them. Japan's Japan, Costa Rica is the first game I'm actually going to.
Are you going to cop one of those?
I think I am going to have to.
Nice. All right. There you go.
I have a Costa Rica. I think I have to get the Japan though.
Yeah, there you go. All right. You're rocking group E. Yeah. You're rocking group E. That's good.
Yes.
Okay. To group F. Yes. Group F, starting with Belgium. They play Wales and the Netherlands. Yeah. But two World Cup qualified teams. Yeah, I'm sticking with my B+ for these Nation League games.
Yeah. I think the only thing I'd say here, which I don't like, is we're trying to look at quality, and I don't think their quality really lines up with who's in the group. I think the Netherlands are better than any of the other teams in the group at the World Cup. And like I mentioned with Wales, vice versa, Belgium does have familiarity there. So I don't like them as much. Like I dinged Wales, and I feel the same about Belgium. I don't think either of those matches are really great prep for any of Canada, Morocco, or Croatia, honestly.
That's true.
So while they are good teams that they're playing, and they will be good matches, I don't know that it's going to be great prep for them. So I'm going to go into the C range there.
Ooh. Straight C?
Yeah.
All right.
And it's overly harsh because just saying, okay, I think the Netherlands are better than any team in that group. I mean, Belgium probably is too, but in terms of just quality, I think it's not the best prep.
Yeah. Okay, to Canada we go. First up is Qatar, and then they play Uruguay. So for me, not enamored with the Qatar friendly, actually. Mm. I don't think they play at all like Morocco. And obviously Qatar is an Asian team and Morocco is an African team. I don't understand why they couldn't go out and get a match with an African nation.
Yeah.
This group is going to be so exciting. I'm so stoked for this group.
I know.
Like it's going to be unbelievable. And then Uruguay. So I think it's a good game for them. I think it's a really good test. I think Uruguay is very comparable to almost every other team in this group in terms of level. I think Uruguay they can be as good as Belgium if they're having a good day. I think that they are better than Morocco, and I think they are on par, if not better than Croatia. So, I think that's a good game for Canada. My only qualm with it is there's no South American team in your group.
Yeah. Yeah. They're playing against South America and
Asia,
and they have CAF and UEFA in their UEFA. Group.
Yeah.
So, not consistent there. I'm glad they at least are playing a good team in Uruguay. I think that was important. So I'll give them a B minus. I think they did a decent job.
That's what I did too. Okay. Love it. All right. Morocco. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. So Morocco, they have Chile and Paraguay. Chile and Paraguay, two South American teams when they shaking have no.
My head, no.
What was that?
I'm shaking my head no.
Yeah. Not no bueno. No bueno.
I don't get that. I mean, Morocco's a team they have to have pretty high hopes going in. And there are other teams out there. They could have found a better CONMEBOL team at a minimum. Obviously, you know, I would have loved to see them. They did recently play the US. So,
I know, but why? Well, they should have gone after like Argentina or something.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like,
I think their choice to go for two teams that are not at the World Cup was a mistake.
Yeah.
And I don't know that'll necessarily hurt them, but that's not a good strategy. So I'm going to give them a D plus just because it's at least CONMEBOL.
D plus. Okay. I love Morocco and I'm sad to see this and I'm going to be overly harsh. They're getting an F from me.
That's okay.
So it's a bummer. It's a real bummer. All right. So let's move on to the last team in that group, but definitely not final by any stretch of the means. That would be Croatia. They have two Nation League games against Denmark and Austria. You're up.
I don't hate it. I think I think Denmark and Belgium are two of the best teams in UEFA and both top 10 teams in the world. Mm-hmm. I think Belgium's probably better than Denmark, but it's not like Denmark is not a good team. And then Austria, I think, is reasonably comparable with Canada and Morocco. So I actually think it's not bad. I think they're probably, I would say, in the B range here.
Right, that's fair. I think Denmark is better than Belgium. And
I like that. I like that.
but no, I do agree with you. I think I'm right there with you. I'm going with a B as well for exactly the same reasons. Yeah. It's good shout.
This group is, like you said, I'm excited to see this group. And I think from the outside looking in, there's not the same excitement. You don't look and go, oh, it's England, it's Argentina, it's Brazil, it's France, it's Spain. But there's a lot of quality in this group and a lot of teams that are hungry to prove that they can do it. Yep. And I mean, one of these teams was actually in the final of the last World Cup. And it's not any of the three teams that are hungry and have something to prove. So I think there's a lot of quality. This is going to be a really interesting group that I'm looking forward to.
Yep. Same. I completely agree. I think it's just going to be great.
So I have a question for you. I'm diverting the pod slightly.
Okay.
So I have the option to go to either Croatia versus Belgium or Canada versus Morocco. Which match should I go to?
Croatia, Belgium, or Canada, Morocco?
Yeah.
Oh man, depends on what you want to see. So if you want to see good football, good soccer, you should go to Croatia, Belgium. But if you want to see like end-to-end stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be like, I mean, both Canada, I mean, those teams are going to, they're going to go after it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a game that either of those teams has to win in my opinion.
It's the final match day of that group as well. So it feels almost like I can't not go see Canada.
Okay. Well, hey, let's think about this though. If that's the last game, then that would mean that they've already played Belgium and Croatia. What is the likelihood that they're going to win both those games? Could they already be knocked out by this point in time?
If both lose both matches, they could be. So that is possible.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think that Croatia is definitely better than either of those teams. Mm-hmm. I think they are probably better, but I think Canada and Morocco both could surprise.
Oh, I totally agree. I think they're both dark horses for sure.
Yeah.
And that's really tough. That's really, really tough. So I went to the Morocco game when they were here in Cincinnati and they played the United States. And even though the US won and surprisingly won quite handily, that Morocco team is just they're a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
Did we mention this earlier in the pod that they got a new coach? They let
we go. Didn't.
Halahazic is gone. New coach. So that means Hakim Ziyech and Nasir Mesraoui are back with the Moroccan national team, which is huge.
That is huge.
Huge is. For Morocco. I mean, that's like a game changer.
Yeah.
So that Canada Morocco game, you could actually, I say you could, but my personal opinion is that it's going to be a key game for Morocco more than Canada. Yeah. I think by that point in time, unfortunately, I think Canada will be out of the running, mm-hmm. but I think Morocco will need to get points in that game. So, I mean, flip a coin, man.
Exactly. I know that's where we're at in the process is it is not definitive one way or the other.
Yeah.
We'll see. Decisions to be made.
If I had those tickets, personally, I'd go to the Croatia-Belgium game just because I've already seen Morocco this year.
Yeah.
But that doesn't help you at all.
So, it does not.
Sorry.
But yeah, decision to be made on that one. So it's tough. It's tough there at the same time too. It's one of those, you know, the final match day at the World Cup. They put those matches at the same time. So
yeah,
teams don't know what they need.
Right. All right. Well, let's move on to Group G. We'll start with Brazil. So they play Ghana in a couple days and then they play Tunisia. So two African opponents, Brazil, man, snatching up all the African teams from everybody.
I don't hate it. I mean, they're in a group with Cameroon. They can't play the UEFA teams and they're with Serbia and Switzerland.
Yep.
I don't hate it.
Yep.
I think Cameroon's a team they probably don't see frequently or what to expect there. So
except at the World Cup.
Exactly. Except at the World Cup. So I actually don't hate it. I think it's okay to address something. So I'll give them a B as well. I think it's not bad.
Okay. Yeah. I like it and I think I like it a little bit more than you. So I'm going with a B+. I think Tunisia and Cameroon are actually semi-comparable teams. Cameroon is a very stout team. So is Tunisia.
In other words, low scoring.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. So I think it'll be good practice for Brazil to break down a team like Tunisia and then Ghana. Yeah. Ghana.
If you want to prepare for UEFA, they're going to play against Iñaki Williams. We just mentioned them.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. So I'm going B+. Yeah. Okay. Serbia. They have games against Sweden and Norway in Nations League.
Yeah, so this is, as we mentioned before, the team that is the only team that's at the World Cup from UEFA that's in League B.
Yep.
And I think this hurts them here.
I agree.
I think it. Sweden, we as we mentioned, not playing well, not at the World Cup. And they just don't have the opportunity to play against anyone at the World Cup. So I think had they chosen or been able to choose who they would play, I think they would have chosen very different opposition. I think this is probably D minus. I think it is for a team like Serbia that's right in the middle of that group, really getting exposure to a Brazil or a Cameroon or something along that style. I think that would have helped them tremendously. I'm curious to see what they do really in the run up before the tournament starts. Because I think they would want to take a pretty different approach.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you going with?
D minus. I will give Serbia.
D minus. Yeah, so yeah, it's tricky. So Sweden and Switzerland, I think, are not far off from each other.
Yeah, I think that's fair as well.
And then with Norway, you know, having to go up against Erling Haaland and I'm by no means comparing Norway to Brazil at all here, but you know, with Brazil, Brazil doesn't really have like a center forward like that. No, that's, right. Like
that's another thing I was thinking that I just don't like is that Brazil, like in Norway, you know what you're getting. You have a world-class striker that you have to shut down or he's going to make you pay. Brazil has talent across the board, which I think that just you can't prepare for without playing a team that's that talented.
Right. I mean, like for Brazil, like Rodrigo and Vinicius Jr., those they're not. I mean, honestly, I'm sorry. I don't really watch
them. They're more wingers.
They're more wingers, right?
I don't know if Gabriel Jesus is going to be there. We'll see. Yeah. Firmino can play up top. But no, I mean, nobody's at the level of Haaland.
Right. Yeah. Cause my thinking was, you know, if, you know, Brazil, Switzerland, or Cameroon have, you know, this center forward figure, it might be, you know, good practice against something like that, but not even Cameroon. I don't think has anybody.
Yeah, Toko Akambi is more winger.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Just kind of, yeah. So yeah, sorry, Serbia. You kind of got the short end of the stick. Man, it's not necessarily your fault, but it kind of sucks for you. So, yeah, I'm just going with D.
Yeah. They're a team that is like, again, it's a harsh grade, but
yeah,
they're still playing against good teams. Like Norway and Sweden are good teams to play against.
Yep.
And I think it'll ultimately help them, but just in terms of prep specifically, not the best.
Right. Maybe in a similar vein, then you've got Switzerland. They're playing Spain and the Czech Republic.
Yeah. Spain's decent prep for Brazil. I can't really, say anything otherwise. The Czech Republic, maybe they're. I don't know too much in how their play style is compared to Serbia, but it seems okay. Not terrible, not great, but okay to me.
So you're going with?
I'll go with C, right in the middle.
C, right in the middle. Yeah, I agree with that. All right, Cameroon. So they start off against Uzbekistan, and then they play South Korea. So they're playing two Asian teams. They don't have an Asian team in their group.
They don't.
I'm not thrilled. I'm not really thrilled.
No. No, it's kind of bizarre.
It is bizarre. And neither of those teams, I feel like, are comparable with Switzerland or Serbia and definitely not Brazil.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. I don't know what they're going to get out of these two games. I mean,
yeah,
that's tough.
I don't get this at all. I think they're definitely one of those teams that I don't get it. I don't know what else to say. It seems like not good prep at all. South Korea is at the World Cup. They're not bad at all, for sure. But I think they're in the D minus. I'll give them the F pass. But scheduling two Asian opponents when you don't even have one in your group seems not smart.
D minus is what I was thinking as well. So I will concur and we will move forward into the last and final group. Yep. So we'll start with Portugal. They have two Nation League games against this group, by the way. I love this group. This is another group that I freaking love. They have games against the Czech Republic and Spain. So contrary to Switzerland, I actually think the Czech Republic is going to help them prepare for the likes of Ghana and South Korea in this group. And then I think Spain is just a good test in general. And I think you can see some similarities between Spain and Uruguay.
For sure.
So I do like this actually. So I'm going to go with a B.
Yeah. I actually was thinking very similar things. I'll give them a B+. I think Spain and Uruguay, if you're thinking about, you know, you can't play a CONMEBOL team. You have to play against a UEFA team.
Yeah.
Spain would probably be the team that I would pick that's most comparable to Uruguay, just in their makeup. And so I like that for them. I think this will be good prep for them. So I'll go with the B+.
Who won the first leg of that Portugal Spain? Do you remember? Was it Spain?
They drew 1-1 in Spain.
1-1 was a draw. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. And they also, it's because they are playing for that group win there. I think it'll be competitive. I think they'll both be trying hard in that match. So I don't think it'll be one of those where, you know, it's just the Nations League and teams aren't giving maximum effort. I think Spain will be a good test for them.
Yeah, I think Portugal's going to take top spot in this group, and I think they're going to be followed by Uruguay. But we'll see. So speaking of them, I guess we'll just do Uruguay right now. So they start things off with the game against Iran, and then they play Canada. So Iran, okay. I mean, they have Asian competition in their group. They have South Korea. In fact, Iran and South Korea were in the same qualification group, if I remember correctly. So, you know, that's not a bad shout. I mean, Iran and South Korea, they're not dissimilar, but they're not crazy similar either. But they'll have familiarity with their opponent, and so you know, part of me just wonders if there'll be some passing along of notes or whatever between the two. But anyways, so I'm okay with that one. The Canada game, Canada actually reminds me a lot of Ghana. You know, fast pace. You know, very kind of open, not necessarily defensively solid per se. So I'm okay with it. So I'm going to say, I think it's a little bit better than average. I'm going to go with a B-.
That's exactly what I was thinking as well. The Canada matchups, not bad. Iran, again, not bad. I would like to see them play someone a little bit tougher, but at the same time, I don't know who that team is. Maybe the United States or Mexico, maybe. But they're probably not going to play another Commie Bowl team. They can't play against UEFA teams. So I think they did pretty well with these matches. Both teams are going to be at the World Cup. So I think they did pretty decent here.
Okay. Yeah. Ghana. So Ghana starts things off with Brazil.
Yes.
And then they end things with Nicaragua. So, right. And I'm, yeah. Like, you don't have any CONCACAF competition in your group. Nicaragua is, they can't really hold a stick to South Korea or Uruguay or Portugal. So I like the first one. I think Brazil is a good test. I think that's an extremely difficult game for them. And if they get anything out of that game, I think it'll be absolutely incredible. And quite honestly, they should steamroll Nicaragua.
Agreed. And
if they don't, then my grade will go down even further.
Yeah.
So right now I'm just thinking D.
So yeah, this is interesting. I'm sorry. What grade did you give them?
I gave them a D.
I think this one might be one where we have a pretty different ranking. I think we've been aligned for just about all the teams. I actually like this for Ghana. And what I like, so Brazil, I think that is smart, because when I said Tunisia before, how their road really wasn't through France, the difference between that group and this group is I think you have two really, really, really strong teams here in Portugal and Uruguay, and you have to beat one of them to advance. And so for me, getting some exposure to Brazil, I'm not expecting them to do a ton with it, but I think that was a really good choice because they know they're going to play two teams. And I am like probably inadvertently hating on Denmark here, but I think getting exposure to a world-class team like Brazil, when they know they're playing Portugal and Uruguay, I think that was a really smart move. The Nicaragua game, obviously it's not anything that's going to help them prepare for any of the opponents, but given that, you know, a country we've continued to talk about, bring new players in, etc., there aren't a lot of opportunities left to get a look at these players, see how they play together, and maybe an easier opposition here gives you a chance to say, let's just try things out, let's see what these players can do. Not expecting, because if you're against a Brazil, you're not going to possess the ball that much. There's not going to be that much that you're going to be able to learn. I think you'll learn defensively, but I do like that they're at least, I think, thinking about it a little bit differently. So I actually think they did a better job. I'll give them a B here. I know we're going to be different. And Nicaragua, obviously, again, not like South Korea at all. But I think they view it more as a, hey, let's see what we can put together here with some of these new players.
I like it. And that's a perspective I didn't think of. So yeah, nice. Maybe they can get Iñaki Williams lighten things up and get him in some form for the team going into the tournament. Yeah. That's not a bad shout. I am just looking up real quick the Nicaragua national team, because I'm pretty sure they have a player that plays in Norway. He's their goalkeeper. I just want to see if he got called into this current team. It's not updated.
No. Right. The Nicaragua Wikipedia page for our listeners out there.
Yeah, that's
right. Nicaragua Wikipedia page needs an update.
Nicaragua.
Please pitch in.
Okay, yeah. I actually, now that I'm thinking about it, he doesn't play for Nicaragua. He plays for Guatemala.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Nicholas Hagen. He plays for HamKam in Norway. Anyways,
Ghana has six players that they have called up for these friendlies
with no caps.
No caps.
Yeah. Who can you name who they are? Yeah, can you tell us?
So it is Tariq Lamptey.
Oh yeah, that's a good grab though. That's Brighton. A good grab. Yeah.
It is Mohamed Salisu from Southampton. Which I'm a little surprised by. Not that he hasn't played, but that he hasn't been capped yet.
Mm-hmm.
But he finally agreed to represent Ghana this summer as well. I'm not sure if it's Steven or Stefan Ambrosius from Karlsruhe in Germany.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Iñaki, we mentioned. Ransford Yeboa Koningsdorfer from Hamburger. And Antoine Semenyo from Bristol City.
Bristol City, okay.
So all six of those players are uncapped and have been called up for this window. So you can tell what they're doing.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm pretty sure that the kid at Hamburg is a dual national with Germany. And if I remember correctly, because I do like watching the Zweite Bundesliga. Mm-hmm. That's the second division for anybody who doesn't know German. He was lighting it up last year. I'm pretty sure he was. Was he a Hamburger last year, or was he? I thought.
Dynamo Dresden.
Was it Dresden? Yeah, Dresden. Yeah. Yeah. So that's not too bad. All right, Ghana.
Yeah, they Ghana did some work. A lot of adjustments to nationality in July.
Yeah,
here
they did some work. All right,
I like they're it. Looking good. So I'm curious to see what they do, because again, I think that's how they're thinking about the Nicaragua game, is like, let's do one that's like a tough opponent, but then one that we can try to figure out. Because ultimately, they need to decide if they want to bring these players to the World Cup or not.
I mean, they do. I mean, I know we're pausing on Ghana here for a second, but I'm just looking at this team. Like, I mean, there's some good talent in this team.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now that they've got Iñaki, they've got a center forward that will be extremely helpful, right? Some of the guys we just talked about. Then also they've got Felix Afanagian.
Yep,
right?
He was the one that I was going to mention next as well.
He's a good player. They've got Kamaldine Sulemana. I'm familiar with him from his time at Nordjylland, I believe, in Denmark. He's a good player. I liked him a lot. Obviously Jordan Ayew, but then their midfield. I mean, you've got Andre Ayew, you've got Thomas Partey.
Yeah.
Partey. You've got Mohamed Kudus. Oh yeah. I mean, Kudus is, I'm a big fan of his, and he's playing pretty well for Ajax right now. So
yeah, I'm optimistic on Ghana. I know I've been critical of them over the last few months, but it just seems like they are kind of finding that talent. That was really the question, is like, who is that next generation of talent after the IUs and some of their players that brought them to the World Cup. So
And Lamptey and Salisu, I think, are two really solid additions to their defense, which they really, really needed.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think their arrows definitely pointing up for sure.
All right, enough Ghana talk. There will be more in the future. The last team we have to talk about is South Korea, and they have friendlies against Costa Rica and Cameroon.
I don't hate it. I think among the teams that are at the World Cup, though, they're probably two of the bottom six or so. So from that perspective, that's where I think I would have liked to see them do a little bit more what Ghana did. You know, they're not going through the same who's going to be in our squad, but you have to beat either Portugal or Uruguay. And I don't know that necessarily playing against those two teams is going to prepare them properly. Yeah, I don't really think they've played the elite opposition that they're going to face. So for me, I think it's, I'm going to be pretty harsh, but I think it's like a D plus.
A D plus. Okay. D plus. I like that they're playing Cameroon.
Yeah.
I think that's good. They're playing two World Cup teams. I'm just going to go with the C.
Yeah. And I knew I was being a little harsh there because they are playing two World Cup teams. They are playing a CAF team. So I'll stick with what I said.
You should stick by your guns. All is fair in love.
But totally understand the optimism.
All right, cool. Well, if you are still listening to us, thank you. Hopefully you kind of enjoyed that. I think we spent a little more time on that than we were anticipating.
Yep.
But that
32 team rundown.
That tends to happen when Brandon and I get together, if you haven't noticed. Indeed. You know, we're just trying to inform you as best as we can. And
yeah.
And it's fun for us and we love it.
And we're 2 months away from the World Cup. So, these things are, I think on the minds of the teams themselves is how do we best prepare? And, you know, if you work for a team and you're listening, we'll give you the grades. We'll give you honest feedback and you can come to us. We'll tell you who to schedule and we can go from there.
That's right. There you go.
All right. So just to wrap up, who got our highest and lowest grades for schedules?
Lowest would be a tie between Australia and Argentina.
Yeah.
They both got double Fs. And highest, we're looking at Japan. Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia. Clearing away. Saudis.
Yeah.
We got our highest.
So they're against the USA and Ecuador.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's a good choice for them for sure.
Yep. We gave them double A's.
Got again A's and F's out of the same group. So Argentina against the two CONCACAF teams. I'll still tune in.
I will too.
I may even buy a ticket. We'll see.
I know it's just down the road from you.
It is.
Yeah. That one I think is the Jamaica game. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jamaica man.
Yeah. If they have the kits on sale, it's a no brainer.
Yeah. Are those new kits coming out? Right. I don't remember. I know they've signed the agreement. They've announced it.
Yeah.
I just don't remember when those kits are coming. I think it might not be till next year, which is a bummer. Yeah. But anyways.
All right.
Well, we better wrap it up. But thanks again, everybody, for listening. And Brandon, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joe. For those of you that made it through, please follow our pod on Twitter at @WindowINTLPod. And you can follow Joe at 12th Yank on Twitter and myself at @We_Global. Follow We Global Football on Twitter. So we'll bring you more numbers and analysis. And I think we'll see some more interviews as we head towards the World Cup as well. So
yep.
Thank you everyone for listening.
Thanks.